This week on Art on the Air, we speak with the new Director of Education for South Shore Arts, Natalie Heath, about the class offerings and her own art practice. Next, we have Crown Point-based singer-songwriter Leanne Stutler about her music and previewing her new EP released on January 28th. Our spotlight is on Art 4 Theater of South Bend with their production of the musical Rent opening January 10th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews.
And what you're just hearing now is Seasons of Love from the Broadway cast of Rent, which actually Art 4 Theater is bringing to their stage in January 14th through the 30th coming up. And so you can get a chance, and we'll be talking to the directors, Mark Albin, Aaron Albin. Welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're bringing this back out after 25 years, this fabulous play.
So are we.
Well, and just to talk about briefly the motivation for doing Rent at this time. I mean, I know it's the 25th anniversary, but what was your decision making in taking this show, this kind of now almost a classic show for Broadway?
Yeah, it's definitely iconic, and it's changed the industry in multiple ways. And one is about the way that it tells story of just normal people. And we felt it was completely relevant to the experiences we're having right now. Rent, for those of you who don't know, is a story about people who are struggling through both a health crisis and an economic crisis, and these artists who are just leaning on each other to get by. And that is what we're all living through right now. And it, even though it's written 25 years ago, the music is still contemporary and it's still relevant right now.
Right. The situations are very, very parallel because isn't it the artist? I mean, historically, it's the artist who, not to say that other people don't struggle as well, but there's always been an financial impact or economic impact on artists. And
I think it also highlights the topics that we often don't talk about, at least on the musical theater stage. The homeless problem, the drug epidemic, plus the AIDS crisis, of course, that was taking place. So all of these people whose voices need amplified and are underserved often in our communities. It was the first time I think that was brought to the forefront of the musical theater stage. And of course, topics still relevant today that we're all still dealing with in our society.
I think one of the interesting things, and maybe one of you want to talk about it, is that the Jonathan Larson, while this was a Tony Award winning show, he never actually got to see the final production. I don't know if you want to speak to that and kind of the irony of that.
Yeah, Tony Award winning and Pulitzer Prize winning, and it is it changed the entire industry. And there's a lot of folklore around Rent and its debut on Broadway and the impact that it had because Jonathan Larson passed away. But it really speaks to one of the main themes of the show, No Day But Today, which is a lyric from one of the songs, and living life to its fullest, regardless of the obstacles that are facing you.
Was also, if those trivia buffs out there, the first time that we had the Broadway ticket lottery. So Rent and that production of Rent was the first time the lottery happened on Broadway that still occurs today for many shows.
What was the audition process like for this?
Very smooth. we are very lucky to have such a rich pool of talent here in the South Bend area. And there are some dynamite performers. We often say here at Art4 that talent is everywhere, but opportunity is not. And we are here to provide opportunity for emerging artists and are so lucky to have such an amazing cast who love each other so much. There is so much love amongst this group. I'm kind of like, stop hanging out after rehearsal. Nobody gets sick.
I think, you know, this goes in definitely one of those shows that people, they have a role that they really want to play. And so they almost to the point of seeking out what theater companies are doing that production. Or so when Rent came across the artist community, so many people came out because they were really wanting to perform very specific roles in the show.
And from an audience perspective, ticket sales are going quick right now. In Art4 history, this is the most pre-sold show that we've ever had, and is outselling already shows that have completed their run. So if you're listening to this right now and you're wanting to get tickets, you need to jump on that before we're getting sold out.
And tell us where they can do that.
You could go to art4sb.org/rent to get your tickets.
Is there going to be a online streaming with this, or is it only live performance?
Unfortunately not. Due to the licensing agreement, we only have live performance this time around. So you'll want to come January 14th through the 30th and see it in person.
Get those tickets.
Get those tickets. And something that audience members should be aware of is our COVID policy. So make sure that before you're purchasing your ticket that you look up to make sure that you can accommodate that policy.
Very good. And where are you guys performing at? What's the location?
We're performing at Langlab in South Bend, which is this, if you haven't been there before, it's an old warehouse space that looks very scary from the outside, but it's very warm on the inside. Very fitting for this story because our main characters live in an abandoned warehouse. So it's you are saturated in the story from the moment you walk into the space.
1302 High Street.
That is correct.
Very good. Well, we have less than a minute left. Tell us briefly about, we can see it, your set look piece or the background, the graffiti background there that you have for it. And we have about 30 seconds left.
Yeah. Aaron contracted a graffiti artist to come in and do our scenic design. And he's a graffiti historian. And he looked up pieces from the late 1980s, early 1990s when the show takes place and did some iconic pieces that you can see in our show that, and it represents how art speaks volumes to what is happening currently in the culture. So Silence Equals Death, that's definitely on there because that was a huge campaign during the AIDS epidemic.
Inspiration from Keith Haring, you can see there.
We'd like to thank you for coming on Art in the Air Spotlight for Art4 Theater. That's Mark Aubin, Aaron Aubin, directors for Rent, January 14th through 30th. Thank you so much for being on Art in the Air Spotlight.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And we'd like to welcome to Art on the Air. She's just taken the position as the new director of education at South Shore Arts in Munster. But she loves teaching arts since 2013 when she moved from Chicago to Northwest Indiana. She taught a variety of classes for children and adults, senior painting studio classes, and enjoyed that. She's actually a very active artist herself. Please welcome to Art on the Air, Natalie Heath. Welcome, Natalie.
Hi. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, we like always to find out about our guests. And what I say is, you know, finding out your background, like where you grew up and everything. What I usually say is how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us your story.
Well, that's a tall order because I've been everywhere, it feels like. But I have to say that the position that I'm in now at South Shore Arts just feels so perfect, because growing up in Ann Arbor and the Ann Arbor public school system, I was very fortunate to just have every type of art experience and just so much culture given my way. It was a real gift. And so once I graduated from high school in Ann Arbor, I moved to Chicago and I attended the Art Institute of Chicago. Also, feel so fortunate. A couple weeks ago at Art in Focus, we were talking about the artist and the creative space. And I will say Ann Arbor Public Schools created this beautiful creative space in every way, a bunch of old hippies just wanting you to succeed in every possible way. And then, of course, art school. I wish, and I'm getting to that age now where I wish I could go back and do things a little differently. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I am. And so upon graduating from graduate school, where I received my master's for K-12 special education and just general education, I taught some, had some classroom experience and loved it, and realized that I just want to make art with people. Art is everywhere. And I knew how much it benefited the general education classroom. I worked in special ed for a couple of years, and I really just saw consistently the benefit of the art experience as part of, especially like the STEAM programs, the science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And so when my husband and I ended up moving here in 2012, it was in the wintertime about when we moved here. So in the spring, I only live a few minutes away from the center here in Munster. And driving by one day, I said, I'm going in there. And I did. And I've never left.
No, I have a question about something you said. So what would you do differently?
I think it would all depend on my ability to know what I know now in regards to not the benefit of trying as much as you possibly can, but just seizing the moment when you do have those opportunities and not taking it for granted. Every morning I would walk through the museum campus, and remember, this was how long ago it was. It was all the armory as you would go through. I loved that so much. I wish I would have taken advantage of a few other programs. I was primarily painting and drawing, natural history illustration. I had started to get into ceramics a little bit right before grad school. And something, again, that we had talked about at Art in Focus was is that depending on whatever department you were in at the Art Institute, every studio felt so different. Every, you know, the smell of the ceramics room, the smell of the photo labs, it was high tech at the time with some of the audio visual stuff on Michigan Ave. It was awesome.
So you've been at South Shore Arts for how long now?
Well, since 2013, I started and I began teaching a little bit of everything. I don't think there's really one. I've looked back and I don't think there's one class I hadn't taught. And in addition to teaching just at the center, some of the visual arts classes for children, adults, and seniors, I've done a lot of the outreach programs too. We've got the Every Kid Literacy Program that we go out into schools. It's all literacy based, and we provide them with a book and a curriculum, and then we come into the classroom and we do kind of a follow-up art program, which I really love. And I think that definitely with my background and my experience, it's just really kind of helped to further my belief in art for everybody, art for all, because we really benefit not just from learning about different artists and movements, but I just think that needing to create and providing that opportunity for people just to sit down and be creative, endlessly important. So I'm so lucky to be here. I just love it so much.
Let us talk a little bit about your art. You do a wide variety of different practices with your own art. So tell us a little bit about some of those types of things. I know I was in your focus on the art, so I sat in on the art space one and everything. So tell us a little bit about that. I found that very interesting.
Well, I would invite folks to take a check at my Instagram page, which is, and can I give that a plug here, Larry?
By all means, please, please. That's what we're about.
Awesome. Wild Hair Art Studio on Instagram. But why I want people to check that out if they'd like, you'll just see a variety of things. And because I do kind of art dolls, miniatures, dream dioramas, quarantine really gave me an opportunity to sit within my studio at home, surrounded by all the things that I make, and be confronted with some themes that even though I don't think I'd really gotten a grasp on some of those things yet. And for me, the themes that were consistent through my work were color tones. I was listening to a lot of music on repeat at the time, which I think were taking on a little bit of emotion in my work. And I think at times it was a little bit overwhelming. And so I had to step back a little bit. I've been taking a little bit of a break since summer, and I'm just about ready to get back into it. I've rearranged the studio, kind of got rid of some of the things that were a little imposing, weren't going my way. And it wasn't that I was being stubborn with it. It was just getting to be a little too much. But Art Dolls is really kind of where my heart is these days.
Well, explain that to what that is. Since this is a radio show, we don't know what an art doll is. So explain that.
Oh, boy. Well, that's going to be hard to explain because, again, people can't see. But generally speaking, there are a lot of different varieties of art dolls, kind of ranging from the idea of the quirky to the quaint. And there were a few publications a few years ago that are no longer in publication in print, but occasionally you'll see Art Doll Quarterly, which was a real good one. I was in there a few times. But for the most part, my dolls are mixed media, polymer clay, found materials, and generally speaking, and something that I can say that's kind of an all-encompassing component of the art that I've been making lately, I'm trying to not plan it. I bring pieces together that just are appealing to me based on those themes I've been recognizing, to be able to see kind of what's appealing at the moment. And I let those things come out. And one of those is definitely with the doll heads and the doll faces. Those little faces, they come alive, not literally, and they tell me what they want to be. So that's kind of the process I've been trying to allow myself to have.
So what other art do besides the little doll faces or dolls?
So about 5 years ago, I think that I must have been having a need for some control. Up until then, some of my art, especially my painting, had been a little abstract, a little bit messy, and I definitely enjoyed that process. But about 5 years ago, I started with the 1/12 scale dollhouse miniatures. And just for reference, that's basically anything a doll, Barbie doll would use. So if you can picture a Barbie doll with a plate in her hands, any kind of, I was making food for the most part, which food rules my life. And so you could just kind of tell for perspective of that. And I became absolutely obsessed with it. There's something very meticulous and very fine about creating these little tiny. And again, on my Instagram, you can see for scale things next to a penny, but a cucumber slice, you can fit 15 on a penny. And so I found that to be very satisfying. And then somehow I think through the art dolls and the miniatures, it's funny how one art form can benefit another, and you don't realize it until you start to say, hey, I'm understanding shadow and light a lot better because I've been building in 3D. Just things like that come together, and it's been a good experience.
So tell us what is education. What exactly do you do there at South Shore Arts in terms of coordinating classes, and what kind of classes are available? I mean, I kind of know, but for our whole audience, let us know what's going on there.
We have a pretty large variety. I wanted to maintain some of the classics that people love. People love ceramics. I think that we could run 50 ceramics classes and they would all fill because there's something really tactile, enjoyable about the clay. And we're trying to promote as much safe and in-person learning as possible. And so what I do here at South Shore Arts is I consider kind of the needs of the people who are here often and tell me what they'd like to see more. I consider maybe even what's going on in the community, some of the schools. And because of being a teacher, I'm pretty aware of what the curriculum is per grade level. And so when I am pitching ideas to schools, I'm always keeping those kind of things kind of up here so I can plan. I like the idea of kind of tailor making the experiences for folks, whether they're here at the center or we've got an outreach teacher going into the school, but that everybody always feels that they have everything they need in a safe space. And
so with the outreach, do you do the curriculum or does the art teacher do the curriculum?
Well, a little bit of both, actually. It sort of depends on who's teaching it. The curriculum we have this year are for two books. One is called Magic Trash, and that's a third grade program based on the Heidelberg Project in Detroit. And then the other one is called Your Name is a Song, and that will be for second grade. And it talks about the beauty and importance and of speaking and clearly saying somebody's name properly and knowing the musical history and beauty and respecting names. So those are the two programs that are kind of, we've got a base project. And because I've taught other programs per the outreach program, we used to do one called The Skin You Live In. And they had a base project, but something I always was encouraged to do here from the people that came before me is put your own spin on it. You get in a classroom, and even though you've got a base for a project, you've got to allow for the possibility that things aren't going to always look just like your template. Do you know what I mean? That's where the success is.
I agree.
And so I want to be able to give the teachers that I have now the be able to opportunity. We're going to come together and build these kits and make sure that everybody has what they need.
So how far is the outreach? How many schools do you go into and which communities are they in?
We are all over Northwest Indiana, LaPorte, Lake, and oh boy, you're putting me on the spot. I'm trying to remember. What's my third county here?
Porter.
There you go. Thank you. Yes, those are the three counties that we serve. And we are everywhere. Currently, I have 50 classrooms already scheduled for the springtime to be able to partake into these literacy programs. And it's an hour each. Some classes, too, are still kind of wanting to be virtual. So we have that option, too. Some of our classes at the center will be virtual. We're kind of paring down to wait and see.
Could you clarify, like, what are you doing in LaPorte County? Like, where are you in LaPorte County with what
currently
classes?
In LaPorte County, and I don't want to give you a pause here in dead air because I know that's a no-no, but I'm looking here over in LaPorte County.
Is it in a school? Is it in a community center?
All schools. And so elementary, I'm sorry, I didn't specify. So schools all over Northwest Indiana are the ones that can participate in this. I actually have a homeschool community parent that was interested in doing it too. So by no means is it limited. It's just the three counties that we serve. Any school is welcome to. I definitely put out all the information to the schools so everybody has it, but they can call me too.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. Even though we go in there with a template, what the kids make are always so different. And that's my favorite part.
Right. And then is there a show to culminate all of it in each school or?
Yes and no. So my goal this spring, I know that there is a student work show that's going to be here at the facility. Dates TBD. I'm sorry, I don't have more information on that. But, you know, anytime, like for our classes that begin on January 10th, I'm putting the word out to all my teachers, please start taking notes on pieces that should belong in the show. And that goes for our outreach. That goes for if a person came here for a wine and canvas party and made a masterpiece, why shouldn't they be included? Because a big part of what we're doing here, especially with the Teen Arts Board that's starting again in January, I think a big part of that experience is not just making the art, but reflecting on the art, matting and tagging the art, and presenting and talking about your art. And so that is a component that I think every good art class should have. And so moving forward, I guess my long answer to you is I sure hope so.
Now, Natalie, you've been doing the Focus on Art program, and I know that's been virtual and it's been in person. Actually, I remember presenting for that a long time ago. But tell us about that program and how people can get tuned into that.
So Art in Focus has been, for the last season, virtual. And our intention has been that starting in January, we would continue, or we would go back, rather, to being in person half of the time on Mondays and then rotate back and forth to virtual again on Thursdays. We are kind of in the process of kind of feeling that out as to whether or not it's time yet to be in person. And so if in January that turns out to just not be the time with all that's going on with the variant and all that good stuff, we will continue to just have our bi-monthly through May virtual Art in Focus on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. But stay tuned. We all want in person so much. Just don't know if it's time.
Can you do a hybrid model where you're doing it in person? I know that's sometimes more difficult. I know with meetings we try that, and it's like the people that are on Zoom are kind of like somewhere else, but I don't know if that would work for hybrid doing in person along with Zoom.
And you know, too, you've got me who Larry's too kind to tell you about my technical difficulties the other night. So there's always challenges to that, too. And when you're talking about the visual arts, what's better than seeing it in person? And so the first Art in Focus in January is actually supposed to be about children's book illustration, of which I was going to bring in my collection. It's not really a hands-on time, so I don't know. And as far as having kind of the hybrid, I guess I would hope our model could be maybe being half in person one time a month and then virtual the second half. But we'll just have to kind of wait and see on that.
Are you always looking for new teachers? How do you, or do you have Yeah, tell me about teachers.
We have some of the best teachers here, and I will say that in the position I'm in right now, I value new teachers coming looking for an opportunity to get into South Shore Arts and teach the arts. And so, yes, we are always looking for wonderful educators to come in and propose ideas for classes, because even though we might have some of the like before when we were talking about the schedule, I may plan it out and look at it and see kind of where the need is. I would love somebody to come and propose a class to me and see if we can make it happen. Nothing is off the table. And so if anybody would like to contact me here at South Shore Arts, they can do so if they would like to talk about employment opportunities and teaching for us.
Go ahead and let us know those how your contact information there is, how to get a hold of you.
Best way to get a hold of me is two ways. You can call me at 219-836-1839, extension 101, or you can email me at natalie@southshoreartsonline.org, and that's arts with an S.
So, Natalie, do you have time to do your own art, or how do you carve out that time to maintain your own practice?
Yeah, it's been a little bit difficult, only because I think I really cocooned there for a little bit in my own art. And I made so much, and I, for the first time ever, was actually making things from start to finish. So it was really good. I do think, though, that part of success in this is understanding when you do need to take a little break. And so even though I'm on the back end of that a little bit, it's really hard here at South Shore Arts because I see all the art being made all the time. There's a workshop coming up in February where we're going to make Valentine's. I'm going to be there. That's going to be the art I make. So I hope that moving forward here in the spring, I'm already thinking spring because that's just how I am. I hope to be able to get outside and do some more natural history illustration. Just kind of see where it takes me, because that's where I think I thrive the most, you know?
I know it's hard to strike a balance, especially with the education aspect, because you do get so much creative bank, I guess, by teaching and working with the students, that I know how easy it is to forget your own practice because you're filled up.
and a wise friend of mine that was here before me, she told me when I first stepped into this position that the key is balance, and that has resonated with me so much.
What classes are you looking to have that you don't have, to just haven't been able to offer?
One of the classes that I have wanted to offer and teach actually for a while is, I think that and something I always say to my students is that when we're making art, we've kind of shrunk a little bit. They're the benefit of standing tall and working and engaging your core and your arms and your whole body when drawing. We're kind of lost digitally into this little pad right here. And so I'm trying to get back to some of the old world type arts that I think is a lost art. And one of them, I think, is hand sewing. And so getting into some of the fiber arts, we're going to have every Saturday in February, students between, I believe it's ages 9 to 15 can come and take a learn to hand sew 3-part workshop where they're going to make cuddly kawaii plushies, which is Japanese for cute, and just get in there and learn how to do some back stitching and proper knots and learn a little patience and a little kindness and be creative.
Just briefly, and you kind of touched on this, how has COVID impacted, well, what you do at South Shore Arts and you personally? What that whole thing that we're still going through, how's that impacted you?
You know, I think that the whole waiting period is what's weighing so hard on everybody, trying to figure out just how to facilitate the need to make you feel whole. And I think that art and creativity, even reading a book or listening to an audiobook, anything that makes you feel. I had somebody call me yesterday asking if we knew about poetry slams in the area. And so everybody, I think, is looking to be creative, whether they realize it or not. Sitting by the fire can feel pretty creative, too. I think that I have a lot on my plate here to be able to make sure I bring art to as many people as possible. And it's so, so hard sometimes when you just want to do everything under the sun right now.
So what are the in-person protocols then?
So at South Shore Arts, we are requiring masks to be worn, but in the classes, we are requiring for students ages 5 and up to be vaccinated 2 weeks prior to the start date. As far as boosters go, I'm not so sure yet, but I know that by being vaccinated and having all of that up-to-date important stuff in classes, teachers are not requiring masks during class. So it, and there's tons of social distancing. Class numbers are limited to be able to keep social distancing. And most of the materials are being provided kit style, which allows people to have their own supplies. The two shan't meet. Teachers aren't having to get their hands in there too much. And it just kind of allows for people to have as safe in-person learning experience as possible. That's my goal.
Wonderful.
So real quick, we got a little over a minute left. Tell us a little bit about, well, we already hit that, but go ahead and hit again how to reach you and some of the other things that you'd like to tell us about in just that minute that we have left.
So one thing I definitely want to talk about is our Teen Arts Board that we're hoping to start back up in January. Teen Arts Board is, and we're taking applications from students 10 to 12th grade. You can check it out on our website at SouthShoreArts.com/Teen Arts Board. And it's for students in grades 10 to 12. It's a completely student-led group of artists who come together once or twice a month. Currently, we're going to be meeting in Munster, possibly Hammond eventually. But the Teen Arts Board provides opportunities for young artists to become proficient creators, critics, and observers of the arts. The Teen Arts Board's members will work closely and under the guide of local artists and working art professionals to establish their own artistic voice and to be able to build upon their own artist portfolio. And they can reach me again at 219-836-1839, extension 101 for more information.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on Art of the Air. That's the Director of Education at South Shore Arts, Natalie Heath. Her contact information. She's been there since 2013 and is got lots of information for you if you're interested in taking classes, whether adult, kids, or anything of any age. Natalie, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations and best of luck.
You guys, take care.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
Welcome to Art in the Air. She's a singer-songwriter, originally from Crown Point, Indiana. She had a six-year run with a Northwest Indiana band, but she now emerged as a solo act on the acoustic circuit and around the region. Please welcome to Art in the Air, Leanne Stutler.
Welcome. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, Leanne, like what we like our audience to hear is a little bit about your story. Kind of one of the things I always say is how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us a little bit about yourself and growing up and how music influences you, and then we'll listen to some of your music.
I grew up in a house where my parents listened to everything. My mom listened to primarily country music, and my dad listened to just about everything else. And they took me to my first concert when I was 3 years old. It was Jody Messina and Rascal Flatts at Star Plaza Theater in Maryville. And I'd like to think that that was probably the worst decision they ever made in their life, because that kind of got all of this started. I knew when I was 3 years old that I wanted to perform somehow, and music was the way I wanted to do that.
Tell us about like some of the training you had along the way, what you were involved in.
Well, I want to know, like, did you sing? Did your parents have you sing at all, like, gatherings when you were little? When did you pick up an instrument?
No, they didn't have me sing. I just kind of did it. I would put on, my neighbors love to tell the story, I would like put on shows in the backyard by myself. I'd like stand on my little picnic table in our play area in our yard, and I would like bring my boombox out and I'd be like lip singing all these songs and dancing. I actually started off as a dancer when I was 3, and then I did that until I was 13. When I was 6, I picked up piano. I shouldn't say picked up. I started playing piano. It's hard to pick those up. I started playing piano when I was 6. I picked up guitar when I was 13, picked up mandolin when I was 15. I played alto sax for a few years in high school. And I think once I kind of hit 15 and you start filling out the college applications or thinking about the college applications, you're like, oh, maybe I should like at least know a little bit of this, so I'm a little more prepared when I go in. And that was kind of what happened. I joined all the choirs I could, and I was in band for a couple of years in high school. And that was all of my training right there between school and private lessons.
So tell us about your post-high school career a little bit. Like you were involved with a band. Tell us about that experience.
So after high school, I went to Columbia College Chicago and actually graduated with my Bachelor of Music degree with a concentration in contemporary urban and popular music. So I like to call it the jack of all trades major, because there was a little bit of songwriting, there was the theory, there was the ear training, there was your primary lessons. I did mine in voice. And then there were other things that we had to do too. We had to do production. We had to do demo production. We had to learn the basics of recording, enough so that when we go into a studio or we sit down with another writer or another artist, then we can at least have some of the basic jargon down to communicate with them. And part of that major was we had to be in this thing called the Recording and Performance Ensemble. And it was basically a handful of students that were thrown into a room and said, okay, you have a year or two, come up with whatever your band is going to be, kind of try to make what your marketability would be, for lack of a better term, what kind of genre, what kind of songs you want to do, kind of figure out where all the puzzle pieces fit. And so the first year I was in this, I was in a band called The Alchemists, and we were like all over the place as far as genre. We had some country influences, we had some classic rock, we had some gypsy jazz influences. Somebody was like, oh, you're like They Might Be Giants, because you're just kind of all over the place. And then the second year that I did this, I was in a band called Ileana. And it was because two of the members are from Illinois. I was the only one from Indiana. So we couldn't come up with a better name. We just meshed the two. And we were I guess you could call it some sort of a rock band. Country rock, just rock in general. I brought a lot of the country influences, the Eric Church influences, that little bit rockier side of country music. And then our guitar player Toto and Guns N' Roses and Steve Lukather and all these other crazy instrumentalists that were awesome. And we just kind of made it work.
You went solo not too long, and then you released your first album in 2019 called Keeps Getting Better. And one of the songs we're going to listen to is Karma's My Best Friend. So tell us a little bit about that, and we'll set that up and listen to it.
Karma's My Best Friend actually started off as a songwriting assignment in college. We were talking about form, and you know, you have your A sections, your B sections. And it started off with two verses, a bridge, and then another verse just to close it out. We were talking about refrain lines and keeping the repetition and title lines and all those fun devices that songwriters try to use. And then afterwards, I finished it. My teacher's like, no, I really like the song. You should like keep this in your sets when you play out places. And so I added another verse, added a chorus, and made it what it was.
And this was released in 2019 from the Keeps Getting Better album, your first one, Karma's My Best Friend. Here, let's take a quick listen.
To the trance. at your friend. There's no one more reliable when karma's your best friend.
Okay, and that was Karma's My Best Friend, Keeps Getting Better album, Leanne Stutler. Very interesting. And we didn't listen to the whole cut, but I thought that was good to share with our audience.
Yeah, it was one of the songs up until that point that I was most proud of writing.
So you have an EP coming out pretty soon. I think that's, January 28th, and luckily the show will air before then, called Welcome to My Circle. So tell us a little about the differences on that. And one of the things I know, you do your own background vocals?
I do.
Okay. Very Karen Carpenter-ish in terms of the style.
Sometimes you're listening to the rough drafts back and it's like, gosh, that's a lot of me. It's different than Keeps Getting Better in the sense of Keeps Getting Better was kind of that transition period going through college, becoming a young adult, trying to get a little bit of life under your belt, and figuring out where you fit into the world. And even though I don't know if I know I don't have the answers to all those questions as far as where I fit into the world and what my purpose is supposed to be, I do know that people are important. And not just in business connections and music connections, whatever it may be, it's important. And Welcome to the Circle is kind of a progression of all of my frustrations that I felt in the last couple of years, and then working through them to the point that whatever happens, we need to care about other people. We need each other. Everybody comes into your life for a reason. And whether you like it or not, just because we're talking to each other, we cross the paths on the sidewalk, you're now a part of my circle.
And what one of the inspirations was two events in your life for that song that that hit about the same time?
Yes, it was 2 weeks before graduation from college, and I was having a gospel band performance as my last one for the semester that night. And my mom called me. She was on her way up to Chicago to watch it. She's like, "I got to go back. Grandpa had a stroke. He's in the hospital. Your dad's heading there now. I'll call you when you're done with your show and I'll let you know what's going on." So of course, gospel band is like this big emotional thing anyway. And the last one of the semester, you get close to this group of people. I'm crying my eyes out for other reasons. Everybody's crying, but I'm crying for another reason. And I got back to my apartment that night and I listened to Will the Circle Be Unbroken, the classic country gospel song covered by so many people in the world. And for some reason, I found comfort in the Randy Travis version. And I listened to it for 4 hours straight. Mm. And at one point, I was like, okay, I'm kind of numb to this. It's just background noise. And then it became, I'm listening to this for a reason. What is it? And I kind of started thinking, what does the question, "Will the circle be unbroken," mean? And I woke up the next morning and I wrote "Welcome to the Circle." So I was worried about graduating college, not really having a plan afterwards, wondering how I'm going to sustain all these relationships with these friends and these teachers that I had met. And then my grandfather having a stroke and eventually passing away from complications due to the stroke. It all just kind of was this big emotional mess, and I needed to sort through it, and this was my therapy session for it.
Well, let's take a listen to it. Welcome to My Circle on the new EP from Leanne Stutler on January 28th.
Forgotten, but you know that our hands ain't fit together.
That is Welcome to My Circle, January 28th, Leanne Stutler.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
You can tell the different emotion. And I think we talked about off air about how the vocal on that's a little different from your other vocals, which are kind of much deeper and richer. That one had kind of a, what do you call, a radio sound to it, or a...
Yeah, when I sat down and I actually recorded this with Nicholas Kazonis at Region Buzz 219.
Oh, I just love Nick so much. He's so
such
precious.
A great guy. Yeah. He's been a mentor of mine for a few years now. So getting to sit down and do this song, this project as a whole with him.
Oh,
was
he's so talented.
Awesome.
So talented.
It was a blessing to be able to put these songs in his care. And as we were working through this, we're like, well, let's try and change up the vocal effect a little bit here, make it a little bit more of like a modern country song sound, make it that radio-esque, telephone-ish almost, not to the point that it's overdone, but enough that we can kind of let everything kind of shine through as far as the music goes. I played the acoustic guitar on it. Nick did a bunch of the other backing instruments on it. And we made it the modern country sound. We threw in the strings to kind of elevate the emotional, because whenever you want emotion, you add strings, right? And at the end, we wanted to try and add like this old church piano to it and kind of round it all out of making the past country meet the modern country and make it a circle.
So beautiful. So can you just talk briefly maybe about the Hoosier Star experience and... did you do it more than 1 year?
That was the only year that I got to do it. And part of that was because of the pandemic. Everything was shut down. People weren't booking things. So I had an empty schedule at that point. And I was like, well, why not? Let's just try it and see what happens. And I made it as a finalist. And I did the competition. It was a great experience getting to work with people outside of Lake County. Because my hub is primarily Lake and Porter County as far as where I gig, where a lot of my followers are at. And I got to move to Michigan City, LaPorte, that area a little bit, and spend more time out there. And I got to know quite a few great people associated with the LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra.
And our great friend,
they're
Tim King.
A wonderful, wonderful bunch of people. So did you, I noticed that you played at Tom Lounge's place in Michigan City. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you did really sort of, did you play in other places in the Michigan City, LaPorte area?
Not yet. I'm sending stuff out. Hopefully we can get some bookings out there soon because it's a beautiful area. I love Michigan City.
Yeah, there's so many outdoor possibilities. Zorn and Shoreline have outdoor stages, I think. So,
yeah, it's a great place. You're right on the water. And as long as it's a nice day out, you're in pretty good shape in Michigan City and LaPorte in that area.
You know, we have about a minute left. We want to make sure you have time to tell us a little about what you have coming up and also about how people may reach you. And then we're going to listen to your final song, Attica. So tell us briefly about that, and we'll listen to that as a play out. So, Leanne, tell us about that.
All right. So as far as you said about where I'm going to be next, Region Ale on February 11th from 8 to 11 is on my books. That's my next gig. You can find all of my schedule or book one of your own at leannstutler.com. That's LeannStutler.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and all those fun places for updates. As far as Atticus goes, Atticus was kind of my where are the people that are doing the right in the world? How can we find them? And it's the look for the people that are standing for what's right, even if they're standing alone kind of philosophy. And it's inspired by To Kill a Mockingbird. It's my favorite book. And I think in times like we've had in the last few years between the pandemic and all the social unrest and changes that we're facing right now in this country and the world, those are the people we need to look for right now.
Well, we'd like to thank you for coming on Art of the Air. That's Leanne Stutler. She's a singer-songwriter from Crown Point. And we're going to listen to Atticus, which is on her new EP coming out January 28th, called Welcome to My Circle. Leanne, thank you for coming on the show.
Best of luck, Leanne. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a beacon still shining in the night? Is there someone who's not afraid to do? Is there someone with more courage but not a gun? Is there still light when the clouds cover the sun? Do we argue for the world that we love? answer. Had a kiss. Do we let our children find out on their own? Or should we start to teach respect in our own homes? Do we let the innocence persist and dismiss the chaos that our world is in? We can't afford to lose, and our hearts know we should win. It's hard to fight with our minds and not our fists. I wish you had the answer.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP. Art in the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. Underwriters for Art in the Air, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Mary LeVan, Arts Patron. Art in the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.